You're listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Patty Pigskin podcast. As always, I'm your host, Gary Somerville, in association with DraftKings. And I hope you've been enjoying all the social media I've been putting up on Instagram and Facebook from the draft. Kind of putting it on drip for the last 2 weeks, but it's starting to come to an end now. The post-draft hangover is kicking in, but to cure that this week, myself and Jer are going to break down the main takeaway messages, if you will, from the 2018 draft. We're going to give our winners and losers as well. No Barry this week, so just myself and Jer breaking down what we feel are the biggest storylines from 2 weeks ago nearly, as it is now in Cowboys Stadium, in the land that Jerry built in Dallas, just outside Dallas, actually, in Arlington. So post-draft analysis on deck for this week's episode of Patty Pigskin. So all of the lights were indeed on Dallas, Texas. A little bit over, what was it? Almost coming up on 2 weeks now since round one. And it's just me and Jer this week.
Hello.
Barry is, where he's in, he's being smart in MIT, isn't he? He's
teaching a lecture or something.
Barry's pretty smart. Doesn't always come across as smart, but he is pretty smart when he needs to be. Kind of like myself, sound like an idiot half the time humble and smart every now and then.
A little humble brag there.
So we will chat a bit about the fact that I was in Dallas this year. So you, unfortunately, were on a plane back to the motherland.
Back to Ireland for a weekend trip.
So you missed out on, you got to see a few of the picks though, didn't you?
I seen it up until the Saints pick. Of Marcus Davenport.
In a good amount then.
So like, the girlfriend was given out to me because it wasn't on airplane mode as we were taking off, you know, like 1,000 feet in the air, the pick came in and I was like, yeah, bastards, I thought you were taking Jackson. But yeah, and then it went off into airplane mode. And then I landed in Ireland and I was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, every pick.
All the notifications came down.
And then I was like, who'd the Eagles pick? I was like, why aren't the Eagles picking?
They traded. So five quarterbacks were taken, and the whole event, will just most people that listen to us or follow us on any of the social media will see that I put a few posts up, and I even did an article for the 42.ie. The lads asked me to do a little bit of a write-up on the experience of the whole event, and haven't been to the ones in New York before. It's definitely getting bigger, and this was the biggest it's ever been. But years ago in New York, you kind of would queue up at 4 a.m. in Times Square.
Right.
And they'd give out a lot of wristbands at like 6 or 7. Then you'd come back later on. But that's radio city. Yeah. It's a smaller affair. But you see hardcore fans lining up there like very late, or early into the morning, should I say. Late at night the previous day. But like this was...
It's the AT&T Stadium.
They had 275,000 applications for tickets, and I think it was 15,000 to 20,000 on each of the 3 days. Wow. So it was a lot, and I'm not sure if you applied, but myself, Barry, and another fellow I know, all of us applied, and we didn't get one ticket for any of the days. That's where you have to call in the contacts every now and then, and fair play to our sponsors, DraftKings. They sorted out tickets with the Cowboys for us, which was very good of them, but just, it was crazy. It was like a city. It was, you had all the networks there, and then you had like a big fan village. There was like bars, and they had one or two bands, and you could do combine drills. And I wrote about it in the article, like, you haven't gone down to the Pro Bowl with me there in January. The NFL know what they're doing when it comes to putting on free stuff for people.
Yeah.
Because they know if you're in there for free, you'd be a little bit more applicable to spend money, whether it's on merchandise, food, whatever it is. And
yeah,
it seemed to be the same again in Dallas. People are just like, ah, yeah, we'll pay $20 for a toasted ham and cheese sandwich or whatever it was.
But that as well, because you're outside the city in the stadium, you've nowhere really elsewhere to go.
Yeah,
you're stuck when you're there for whatever number of hours. So,
and I didn't really know the Dallas area. I just knew the Dallas Fort Worth area was quite a big sprawling place, but Arlington is like 20-25 minutes outside the city, so it was a bit of a trek. But when you get there, it's like a city in itself, because you have the Texas Rangers baseball stadium is there, you have a theme park, there's Six Flags there, and then you have AT&T, which, fuck me, it looked like a spaceship or something from a distance. It was incredible. And then when you get in, you're looking up going, Jesus, imagine it on game day with like 100,000 people, you know. But yeah, great day. Got to meet some friends. And as people may have seen, we got a little shout out there on day three with the Seahawks pick of Alex McGough, the quarterback from Florida International. So shout out to Justin Carter, who was a Seahawks fan that accepted my $20 backstage and gave us a shout out. So fair play to you, Justin. I have a place in my heart for Seahawks.
Just the $20 or anything else?
Well, there has been rumors of other stuff going on, boy. I'm not going to address those vicious allegations. Right, we'll get to the draft itself. Five QBs, most since 1999. And we all did our mock drafts. As we explained, we gave a disclaimer. This year, it was very, very hard to pick everybody, really, because there was no slam dunk number one pick like Myles Garrett in the past or Andrew Luck a few years before. And
number two, he was, no?
Andrew Luck? I think he was number one in RG3. He was number two, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah. I think so. I may be wrong. We'll have to fact check that.
But yeah, there was just no clear cut. Every one of them had an asterisk beside them.
And the results are in from our mock draft. I think we were looking at Mike Mayock's earlier on. Like, everybody gets loads wrong. Mike Mayock, in fairness, he had players going to the right teams, just didn't account for some of the trades. So I got two right. That was Saquon Barkley was one of them. And I got Quentin Nelson going to the Colts at number six. I will take slight credit for going Lamar Jackson to the Ravens, but I had him going at 16. He went at number 32. Yeah. So I can't count that. If I didn't really, go to the right. Would you give that to me?
I'd give that to you.
Would you give it to me?
It's trades, like, just mess everything up.
Right, so I'll take three then.
You'll take three.
And you got two, did you? Yeah, I'm just looking at it here on the Instagram. You got Saquon going to the Giants, and
that could have been it.
I think that might have been it. It just goes to show you. Like, I mean, we fucking did our research. We looked at what team needs were and all that.
Yeah, and then we discussed it before we came on the air. Like, we'd done it, like, what, a week and 2 days before the draft. And then suddenly, Vegas 2 days before the draft, suddenly Baker Mayfield is the number one QB, who would not be mentioned the whole draft process as the number one. And lo and behold, he went number one then. I was like, wow, holy shit.
Yeah, it's hard to kind of allow for, like, I kind of wrote a bit in the article about when one weird pick comes in that's not really foreseen or expected. In this case, it seemed to be like Denzel Ward going at number four. I don't think anybody really...
Well, that changed it, because with him going number four, the Broncos couldn't really pass on him. Had the Broncos taken Chubb, I'd say the Broncos would have traded out of five. But they didn't. They went with Denzel Ward and...
Well, the Browns?
The Browns, sorry. No, but if the Browns had taken Chubb,
yeah,
I don't think the Broncos would have stayed at number five. Then they may have traded back. But because he was on the board,
too good to pass
this guy up. Like
you put him with Von Miller there, and it's like, fuck me, that's like a serious 1-2 punch there on the D-line. So the five quarterbacks, Baker went first overall. Yeah. And I remember when I was landing Dallas, a flight from Cleveland landed at the same time, and like, all the Browns fans are like, we don't want Baker. And they were worried about another kind of Johnny Manziel episode happening again.
But then I think everybody kind of cleared that up, you know.
Yeah.
He is not Johnny Manziel. He's much further along. He's older. He's more mature. So what if he's done a couple of things? You're not getting Johnny Manziel. You're getting somebody completely different.
Let's hope not, for the Browns' sake, because they need a break from all that shite. Sam Darnold went to after the Saquon pick.
Which I found
happy with that.
Quite hilarious, because I was listening like a year and a half ago to Around the NFL, and Dan Hans's thing was hashtag scam for Sam.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I think the Jets have won too many games to even get near him. And here he goes. See, they actually, a couple of trades and then they get him.
Just goes to show you, like, anything can happen. So Darnold then went number three to the Jets. Next QB off the board was
Mr. Twitter.
Oh yeah, what was, some of those were his tweets, and some of them clearly
his friends had taken his phone, but yeah, some of them were his tweets.
It was like, I love Bum Bum, and like shit like that, you know, like, he's not writing that. One of his mates that are getting into his Twitter account there. So he's gone to Buffalo, and Josh Rosen, who definitely was pissed off, he was like, I'm going to remember this, and he seemed to have a chip on his shoulder straight away, which you kind of expect with his character. He went to the desert, so he's a member of the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And then Ozzie Newsome kind of wheeled and dealed his way back into the first round, and he got Lamar Action Jackson at number 32. So seemingly they got their man. They paid a lot less than what they probably would have if they got him earlier on.
Funnily enough, that the Cardinals gave up less to move up to get Rosen than what the Ravens had
To
number 32. To get Jackson.
Interesting one now. Didn't know that. That's a nice little tidbit. So we will, I think the aim of this podcast was we will talk about around two teams briefly. Then we will give some winners and losers who we feel excelled in the 2018 draft or totally made a balls of it. So your Eagles, I'll let you fire away. We've no Buccaneers talk this week, even though they were a little bit active in the first round by trading. So, sure.
Well,
Eagles, thoughts?
Tough draft in the sense that we didn't have a lot of picks because we gave up the picks for Carson Wentz. And, hey, that's worked out pretty well for us. You know?
So that's proved to be
pretty
all right.
Pretty good heading into the draft, you know. And a couple of things you needed. We lost two tight ends in the offseason. One went to Chicago and Trey Burton. And then the other retired. Or we moved on from Brent Celek. And what better one to get than probably the number two rated tight end in the draft, Dallas Goedert. But to actually jump above Dallas Cowboys to get him, especially with Jason Witten just announcing his retirement before the second round, and to get the guy who's actually named after the Cowboys as well.
And the way Akers did it as well.
Yeah, oh, brilliant.
Jesus
beautiful.
Christ, he had the crowd proper wound up.
Yeah, but a big squeaky voice on him though.
Yeah.
But, you know, looking forward to some two tight end packages with him and Zach Ertz. Could be very interesting.
Yep.
Not the greatest of blockers, but do you really need him if you're wheeling him out or throwing him on a slant? Fourth round, we went Avante Maddox, a cornerback out of Pittsburgh. You know, we lost one or two cornerbacks in the offseason there, so we need to strengthen that again.
Mm.
And we need to see if Sidney Jones is going to come back and be the player that was tipped as like the best QB last year before he tore his Achilles. And then we went with a guy, Josh Sweat, out of Florida State. Interesting one about him. When he was coming out of high school, like he was like a five-star, top two players to be recruited. But he got injured and nearly had to have his leg amputated.
Jesus.
So if we can get him to any way, shape, or sort to be a menace on the D-line along with the guys we've got there, he could be quite an interesting pickup.
Yeah,
you know,
big time, yeah.
You got him deep down in the fourth round, so you're not giving up too much for him.
Mm.
But the interesting one was one I was always sharing with you and Barry in the lead up was the Australian guy, Jordan Milata.
Yeah, yeah.
We took him in the seventh
rugby
round.
Player, yeah.
But
where do they want him playing?
So he was working out as a tackle, but I don't know what you do there because the guy was running like a 4.6, 4.7 at 345 pounds.
Is that what he is?
345 pounds. He looks as if he's 280. So what do you do? Do you throw him in a tight end in the odd package here or there, you know?
They could have those plays where he's actually an eligible receiver.
Like the Arena Football League the last day with the tackle. I'm a tight end.
Well, the Pats have done it. The Pats did it once or twice where they had one of their tackles declared as eligible. So
we've seen the highlights of him busting through guys and guys holding on to him as he's carrying them into the book and for a try.
Stick him in a fullback. Have the J train running behind him.
What he's like at catching, I don't know. But, you know, it's...
Some handling skills if he's playing. If he's been playing rugby, he knows how to.
But it's an interesting one because I want to see what they do with him now because they'll take him into training camp. But I wonder, will they designate him under that NFL international rules players that they have now, where you get an extra practice squad member?
Well, that's the NFC South and the AFC North this year.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah,
it's only those two?
Yeah, they've added, well, it used to only be one division. They've added an extra division now.
That's my lack of knowledge it. Because I was wondering why I hadn't seen that around his name.
I only know because Moritz Böhringer, the German guy, mm-hmm. who was actually drafted by the Vikings a few years ago, he is now with the Bengals, I think it is.
Yeah.
As their, you know, extra space on their training.
And every team in the AFC North has a player.
Yeah.
They're all making it.
Yeah, and then the NFC South from last year, they have lads there as well. There was another former rugby player, Alexander Gray.
Mm-hmm.
He's a tight end, I believe, at the Falcons. Tried to get him on this podcast, actually. So maybe now that we're so big time getting called out on NFL Network, he might give us the time of day.
Maybe.
We'll
maybe.
See.
What about your Giants?
Yeah, so what was your grade, by the way?
I give them an A, you know, because the Super Bowl champs, there's not a lot of need in the Eagles at the minute, and they just took what they figured could complement other positions.
I mean, when you're picking, well, I know they traded, but like when you're picking, you know, on paper, 32nd,
the one thing I really wish we got to hear, you know, was with the 32nd pick and not having it been from a trade.
And there were a lot of Eagles fans there, actually, and then they didn't even get to hear, you know, their team picking anybody on the first night. So,
yeah.
My Giants, I was delighted with them, I have to say. And even a lot of Giants fans and friends that I spoke about afterwards, like, it seemed to be a very consensus. Just very, very happy with how Gettleman performed. Like he righted a lot of the wrongs that Jerry Reese did over the last few years about, you know, addressing guys that we need mm-hmm. now. So number two pick overall, Saquon. Obviously, generational talent adds a dimension to the running game. The Giants really haven't had a good, like, you probably can't even name like Giants running backs really. Throughout the last decade, like probably
not a great running back,
not a great one. Since like Tiki Barber is probably their best one, and he's like, you know, that's nearly a decade ago at this stage. So it just adds another dimension to the offense they didn't have, and now that they have the guys up front blocking from, I was happy with that, and most people seem to be happy with that Giants mm-hmm. pick. They're like, fuck the quarterback, let's just give Eli another year under Gettleman. So in round two, Will Hernandez, who I think we all had him go in the first round, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
He's just a bully on the run game. They got him sliding to number 34. So, again, addressing something that they were brutal at last year, which was blocking for the run. So, there's two kind of addresses straight away. Third round, they got Lorenzo Carter, linebacker. He's from Georgia, so he'll go in there beside his Georgian brethren, Alec Ogletree.
Yeah.
Again, linebacking core for the Giants over the last few years has been shy. So, hopefully, it's good now. This one was great. BJ Hill. BJ was selected with the 69 pick, which lovely. I thought was fucking hilarious. He's a D tackle. He'll go into that rotation there in the D line. They also got another D tackle in the fifth round, RJ McIntosh from the U. So they seem to be wanting to incorporate a bit of a D line rotation into the 3-4 defense.
Seems everybody's taking the Eagles fucking playbook seems, out here.
I mean,
know?
Here, if the blueprint
the Bucks
is there,
are doing it, the Bucks have it.
It worked, so why not? And they also got they got a QB in the fourth round, pick 108. They got Kyle Loletta, who was an interesting choice, and a lot of people had him pegged on to the Patriots. So I wonder where the Patriots, because apparently from my Seahawks and our Seahawks friend Brian Carter, he said that after the Rashad Penny pick came into the Seahawks, that the Patriots actually called him looking to get him.
Really?
So, yeah, which is very, very rare that a team straight away after a pick comes in going, yeah, we want this guy.
Yeah.
So I wonder when the Giants picked Lalette, was the same kind of phone call coming their way. But overall, I mean, looking at what they needed and what they picked up, I have to give them an A, which seems to be falling in line with most NFL analysts and experts. A lot of them seem to be fairly happy with how Gettleman did. So an A for me. For the New York Football Giants.
I just want to wish Lane Johnson a happy birthday. You know, when he does listen to it tomorrow, you know, we just thought we do wish him happy birthday.
That's very fucking random, but I love it. How old is he? Was he like 27 maybe?
I have no idea what he is, but yeah, he must be 26, 27.
Well, happy birthday, Lane. You know, I know you're an enemy of mine, but you know what? It's your birthday. So yes, best wishes. Hope you're having a good time wherever you are. Will we get to the winners and losers, will we?
Yeah, this should be an interesting one.
So we got three winners and three losers each. I'll let you... What the fuck are you looking at there? That people don't need to know what he's looking at. Right, who's your first winner of the 2018 NFL Draft?
The Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
They only had four picks in the draft based on what they traded around to get to places. But to pick up Rashawn Evans, the linebacker out of Alabama, he's fast, he's hard-hitting.
Yeah.
To get Harold Landry, when everybody had him possibly going in the first round.
Oh, yeah, big time. But yeah.
I heard some reports come around that there was a health concern there.
Yeah.
That nobody knew about except maybe the teams themselves, which is interesting to see. We seen him play last year.
Yeah.
He didn't look like the player that was there the year before at BC. True.
Yeah.
And I think he was playing through his injury. And speaking to a past alumni of BC, he pretty much agreed to come back for his senior year, provided he'd be kept to limited snaps. So he could Fair turn enough. Around, you know. That defense just, you know, we watched them against the Patriots this year and they were just bossed. I think they needed some pressure to come in, and they're going to get that.
I think we knew when we saw Vrabel. Like, we even said it in our kind of draft preview. I was like, he's going to want a few bruisers there, especially like as a former linebacker himself.
And that's what it is. Like, a lot of people have said these are prototypical Patriots picks.
Yeah.
The types of players that they would go for.
Big time.
Which brings me to just the other person I was going to mention. And I mentioned this to you off air. I had just heard another couple of other media people talking. Luke Falk, the QB, that apparently he was rated very highly on some of the scouts. This drafting process that they reckon he could be the next Tom Brady, as in that late pick that could turn into a fucking diamond. So it'll be interesting to see, because Mariota's gotten injured the past couple of seasons.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what Vrabel does with the offense this year. I didn't think it favored him last year for what they were looking to do.
Yeah, and they've the new offensive coordinator there now, so it'll be interesting to see kind of how the style.
And you know, if changes. QB1, you know, if Mariota gets injured, this guy could come in and shine.
Yeah.
And then what do you do then? You've got great trade bait on hand. So it'll be interesting to see. But they're my first team up as a winner.
Yeah, and you just look at the weapons. Like, let's say, touch wood, Mariota doesn't go down. But if he does and you got this Falk guy coming in, you've got, like, Delanie Walker on his day can be one of the best at his position. Yeah. You've got a great little tandem at running back, Deion Lewis in there and Derrick Henry. And even, like, Corey Davis was starting to shine, the rookie they got last year, wide receiver.
Yeah.
So, man, like, they're pretty well stacked, and they've got a serious offensive line as well. So, yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they're definitely building. My first winner is the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens. Some people said Ozzie Newsome didn't really have a great draft, his last draft as GM, but I'm going to disagree because...
I disagree on that.
Traded out with the number 16 spot with the Bills, and they took Tremaine Edmonds from, where is he, Virginia Tech linebacker. And then they traded out of the 22nd spot with the Titans, who took Rashawn Evans. And they still got their quarterback, who they were rumored to be looking at, and that was Lamar Jackson. I had them taking him at 16. Obviously, he went at number 32. They got a decent old tackle, who was Orlando Brown. He had a bit of a shit combine.
Yeah,
and they got
interesting one with him, though.
Yeah, and then they got their tight end, who Ravens always seem to be picking up tight ends. They got Hayden Hurst from South Carolina. So, in my eyes, I like what Ozzie Newsome did. So, I'm going to have him and the Baltimore Ravens as my first winner of the 2018 draft.
Yeah, it was a very interesting one with them. You know, that they... Where the Ravens succeeded in winning the Super Bowl, Flacco had two tight ends.
Yeah.
You know, and they got the tight end they wanted, and they didn't have to give up at number 16. They kept trading back and accumulating more picks, which inevitably enabled them to trade forward to get Lamar Jackson as well. So
they actually
the
got
tide is turning in Baltimore, and Flacco really needs to fucking take the finger out now, because he's got RG3 there and fucking Lamar Jackson now, both chasing up his hole.
By the way, we actually are drinking... Well, we're not drinking beer tonight. We're drinking cider. You brought these over. Angry Orchard. I know you're a big cider man. So no IPAs this week.
Oh, Christ. We've sold out summer as well. Like, we've gone proper corporate here, you know. gone to the man boys here, you know.
Yeah.
Angry
Orchard, if you want to sponsor us, just hit us up there and we'll drink this every episode. Who's your second winner?
Second winner, I've got the Bengals.
Okay. Our friend Cahill will be delighted to hear that.
Yeah, just for a team that basically last year lost 2 to 3 offensive linemen, and we're basically almost right, accepting like we're fucked. We'll just have to go with what it is, you know. It is what it is.
Talk.
And
proper fuck.
Wasn't great for them, you know. But this year they took Billy Price, center, out of
the
Ohio State.
And we're actually rocking Ohio State here now.
I reckon he'll be extremely good for them.
Yeah, loved that.
Provide some stability to that line. Sam Hubbard.
Yeah, I was edge out of very surprised
in the Ohio State as well to help get some pressure on that.
I think you had him in the first round, didn't you?
I did. I thought slid. Possibly he would go in the first, and he slid to round 3 in day 2. The next one, Malik Jefferson, linebacker out of Texas.
Yeah.
Was meant to be the next Jaylon Smith coming out of Texas, so he was. Went to the University of Texas, and it just didn't work out in the schemes or something that they were doing. But given they never know what's happening with that gobshite and the Bengals, whether he's going to be suspended for 2 games or a year, I think he's going to come in, play extremely well, get around the field,
yep,
and bring some fucking pressure to a heavy and AFC North.
Okay, so that's your second winner, Bengals.
Yeah,
my second winner is the Washington Pro Football Team, as Steve O'Rourke likes to call them, aka the Redskins. I did say they would go defensive line with their first pick.
Mm-hmm.
I had Vita Vey going to them. Yep. It ended up being Deron Payne. So they have a nice little tandem there, an Alabama defensive line between their first round pick last year, Jonathan Allen, and now you got Payne in the mix, which, fuck me, like, that's a serious D-line. They even got another one who seemed to drop quite a bit, Tim Settle from Virginia Tech. Slid all the way down to 163rd. Really? Yeah, he wasn't really projected to go that far down at all. Like, that's a serious rotation on the D-line there. So they were last against the run in 2018. Yep. They got all these bruisers to stick in the middle this year. I like those pickups. And Darius Geis. Is it Darius?
Darius.
He fell nicely to them. And that, I think that was a bit of a steal in some people's eyes. Like, they
a very big steal.
Had him going in the first round.
A bit like the whole Josh Allen with Twitter things coming out the day before the draft.
Yeah.
It came out the day before the draft. Apparently, like, he blew up at the Eagles facility on a visit there. Lost his shit at the coaches. And
it worked out in the Redskins' favor,
you know. But again, the thing is, one thing to point out is, like, there was no concerns around him, like, that you may have seen, like, with drugs or assault. It was just immaturity was the only concern around him.
Yeah.
And hell, like, the Redskins have needed a good run game, and in the division that it is, you're going to need a good run and aerial assault game, and this brings a nice little bit of to take the pressure off Alex Smith.
Absolutely, yeah. So that's my second winner, the Washington Redskins. We'll take your third winner there.
Third and final winner that I am going to talk about is the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay.
To get Tavon Bryan, who is actually white. I haven't gone to the Gators there, you know.
Born in Casper, Wyoming, which makes him even whiter.
Yeah. I think just with the contracts that they're going to have coming up next year and the year after on their D-line that they won't be able to afford, they get Tavon in the first round, which gives him the 5th-year option on him as well.
Yeah.
Which is going to be extremely important. And then DJ Chark, or Shark, or whatever you want to pronounce it, to have him fall all the way in the second round as well. It's
great pickup.
He can take the secondary off there, and he'll be a fantastic pickup for them. And then Ronnie Harrison as well in its safety. So
very balanced.
No, that defense has just gotten stronger.
The rich get richer. No wonder the Jags were your third winner there, because that's like getting guys for that value is fantastic.
Yeah.
I know I spoke about them before, but I had to put the Giants as one of my winners down. Like I said, most analysts gave them an A draft grade. I'm not going to argue with that. I think just getting them and just did the job he was supposed to do, which is, these are areas we're shit at. It's your job to address them. If you can, get a good bit of value out of it as well. He seemed to do that with the picks he got. And like at running back now, they've got Saquon, but they also have Jonathan Stewart, who he got from his Panthers. He could be the short yardage slash goal line back. And that seems to be his niche now towards the end of his career. They have Solder on the O-line. They put Hernandez in as well. That really opens up a possible run game now for Saquon. And Eli, we don't really need to talk much more about the weapons he has with Ingram. Odell, Sterling, Shepherd. It's a pretty stacked offense. So I like what Gettleman did. And for that reason, the Giants are my third winner of the 2018 NFL Draft. We'll take a quick break and then we'll pop back in a minute and we will chat about our draft losers. Let's talk about some losers, Jer. Who is your first loser of the NFL draft?
The first one I have up is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
They were very quiet in the offseason leading up to the draft. And then with the draft, they took Terrell Edmonds, safety out of Virginia Tech, Tremaine's brother, in the first round. Who a lot of people had a day two, round three grade on this guy. And it was just a bit odd to see him considering Justin Reed was still on the board at that stage. So obviously they know something that we don't. And they can see this guy playing maybe a different position. I'll eat my words if he turns out to be an absolute baller. But just picking him two rounds before most people have projected him to even go is a bit of a shock. They took James Washington, a wide receiver at Oklahoma State in the second round, when Malik Jefferson was still on the board, and given Ryan Shazier's injury, and he won't be back this year, I thought maybe they could have got a linebacker that's fast, that can read plays well, get around the field, would be the perfect person they should be drafting there, but they went wide receiver.
Because they did trade Martavius Bryant.
They did, and Raiders. This guy he isn't as fast as Martavius, his hands aren't as good, now he's got lanky arms, but you know, it's obviously in there to help the wide receiver core and strengthen them.
Sure.
But
we all had a linebacker.
I felt as
going
if
to the Steelers actually.
I felt as if they should have taken a linebacker there, and that's where my draft grade is, just put them in the loser section at the moment.
Fair enough. My first loser is the soon to be Las Vegas Raiders, and I think Colton Miller was a bit of a reach at 15. We all seem to have him in like the mid kind of 20s, maybe early 30 range. And the offensive line in UCLA wasn't that good in 2017, so a lot of analysts didn't have Colton Miller going in the first round at all. So.
But the upside's quite high with him, though. When I listen to a lot of people, again, they all believe he was reached on, but the ceiling is there, but they all felt they could have got him at a fucking lower pick.
At a lower pick, yeah. They also took two FCS players in the second, third round. In the second, they took PJ Hall, who's a D-tackle from Sam Houston State, and then the third round, Brandon Parker, an offensive tackle from, I never even knew this college existed, North Carolina A&T, which is like agricultural and
technology,
something like that. Risky picks, like, to take two FCS players back-to-back that early, considering they still needed a linebacker help.
Yeah.
They still needed cornerback help. And yet, they take guys from, no offense, no-name schools that high. Yeah. I think that was a bit risky from Mark Davis, and that really needs to pay off, or he's in the hot seat.
Yeah, I suppose, given the fact, how many more years do they have left? And
this is their last year.
This is their last year, you know.
So you got to give the fucking Oakland
fans. You
wanted
to go out with a bang, you know.
And then the Mo Hurst pick. Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
He slid all the way down to the fifth round, the defensive lineman from Michigan. And we were actually just chatting about it. You seem to uncover some information.
For those that aren't aware, it was discovered that he had a heart condition or irregularity that was picked up at the combine. So he wasn't allowed to take part in the combine. He was cleared to take part in the Michigan Pro Day. So he took part in it. But just from the rumblings I've heard going on in the other media circles is a lot of teams, medical teams, have said this guy should never play in the NFL because they... With the whole HIPAA regulation, they wouldn't get into what was wrong with him, but they all said that he should not be playing in the NFL. So it comes to a point where you made the thing, hey, it becomes being a steal and getting a guy in the fifth round to potentially a guy's life on the line here should, whatever the condition be, go further in the field.
And that's the underlying kind of team we have for the Raiders. It's just a lot of risk involved.
Yeah, they don't really seem like typical Raiders picks, so it's obviously...
Yeah.
The new sheriff in town has made these picks.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So Raiders are my first loser. Who's your second loser there?
So I only have two losers.
Okay.
Because I was going to go with the Raiders and you had them as well, so it didn't make a sense to cover them both up. But it's an interesting one. So for all you fans out there, hold on a second until you hear my case. That includes...
Don't at me, bro.
This includes the host. But the Giants, though... Like, I'm not going to disagree.
I'm turning off the microphone here. Where's the hook?
I'm not going to disagree that they had a good draft. But My concern is, right, Barkley is an all-round baller, unbelievable talent, but you're not going to play him in the run game, or not the run game, sorry, the punt game or the return game, the kickoff game. Whereas you could have picked up a Sonny Michel or a Nick Chubb or one of these guys for, or Darius Geis for a good running back. But to possibly let Sam Darnold, who could, if he turns out to what most people think he's going to be, and for him to go to the Jets at the very next pick, that he could be the new face of QB in New York going forward. I think Dave Gettleman got it from the Maras. I think the Maras believe Eli's got another couple of years left in him, and they obviously want to win now. And by getting in Barkley and teaming him up with Shepard and OBJ and the new defense and the offensive line, especially Will Hernandez, who I'm shocked they got. I thought the Browns would have picked him instead of the guy out of Nevada.
Yeah.
But just take away, because the draft is more long term than just now, this 1 year.
Sure.
Could they possibly have given up like the next Phil Sims or the new Eli in his prime and let him go to the Jets, which Giants fans won't be able to listen to because Jets fans will never shut the fuck up if that is happening. That's just the one thing. I think maybe they could have got an A-star running back had they traded back anyway.
Mm.
They still would have got a Darius Geis or a Sonny Michel. So again, the rest of the draft was good. It's just that one thing in the long term.
I hear you on a lot of those points. I think from a win now standpoint, they do think that Eli has a year or two. They look at the weapons around and it's like, I know they went 3-13 last year. It was a fucking shit show. But if you just have to look at the talent they have on both sides of the ball. There's no reason why a team like that with the talent they have should have been going 3-13.
Yeah.
I just think that they're so primed on both sides of the ball. That's why the Maras and Gettleman were like, look, let's fucking surround Eli with the best chance possible, which is give him O-line help, give him a running back where it doesn't have to fall on him. If the passing, you know, he's not having the forced throws because he knows, fuck, I haven't got a running game going here. I think, and they have a good defense. Like they're, you know, they are a top defense on paper. I think they're just like, let's just give Eli the weapons.
Well, that's
give
him a year or two. Again,
I can see why you're like, well, they're not looking to the future. And that's a perfectly fine argument, you know. I just think in their frame of mind, they're like, there's a little window here every year or two. Let's just fucking go for it. But I hear what you're saying completely. Yeah,
there you go.
I'll only give two losers then. So I'm debating here on which one I should pick. Because I've got... okay, hang on a sec. I'm gonna juggle right or left hand.
Well, I know who one of your losers is. Because we discussed
this. This is pointless, right? I'm gonna say the Browns are one of the losers. Okay. And some people will be like, how many fucking beers has this dope had? If you had told me on Thursday morning that the Browns have two picks in the top four and they would have neither Saquon Barkley or Bradley Chubb, I would have said, give me a hit of that crack pipe because that shit must be amazing. I just find it astounding that like they were viewed as two of the best like athletes, football players, regardless of position, on paper. And they came away with neither. As much as I'm a Buckeye fan, we're both wearing fucking Buckeye gear. I think picking Denzel Ward at number four.
Well, they went straight up for need. And that was the position they needed as opposed to best player available.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've already seen a pick off the number one pick this week already.
yeah, that was interesting. That one picked off the other already.
But, it was a very interesting draft. Because I would especially take the third player they drafted, the guard out of Nevada.
Yeah.
They took him right before Will Hernandez.
Yeah.
And Will Hernandez was like the top two, apparently, guards next to Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
And they skipped on him. John Dorsey is meant to be a fantastic evaluator. Oh, so yeah, I'm not questioning him yet, you know.
No.
But, it was just, I was sitting in the airport. I was like, they took a cornerback. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
like with having Bradley Chubb there, I thought, hell, this D line is going to be awesome, and there you go, taking him.
The place went fucking ape shit when Denzel Ward were picked. Everyone was like, "What are you doing?" Just going fucking mental. And like that's the thing, Dorsey is a great evaluator of players on the field, or is it an evaluator of character? Because I know people are like, you know, comparing him to Manziel, and some of those are unfair. There's one or two of the comparisons that are warranted, given, like, you know, he's had some off-the-field troubles and stuff. I just feel like the Johnny Football experiment kind of set them back a few years. I'm like, would you not just go for a more quote unquote safe pick?
Yeah.
Like someone like Darnold. It's just like the Browns fans are like, hang on a second. We had this Johnny Football thing going on. And
well, the thing is, as well, risk. Baker led at the NCAA in all fucking records last year and the year before as well. You know, Darnold has only been paying QB since he's 16. That's the scary thing.
Yeah.
Baker's been playing it since he's 6. Darnold's only been playing it 4 years. And Baker is a few years older, so he's a little bit more, I say, mature, seasoned at playing the position than the likes of Sam. But I think Sam worked out perfectly going to the Jets because he mightn't have to start straight away. But it'll be interesting to see. We're on the Browns here now. But the other one, Antonio Callaway, is that his name, that wide receiver that they took out of Florida? Now, they got him in the fourth round, so it's whatever. It's a fourth round pick. If he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. But he is a guy that has serious character issues. Like, he failed the drug test at the combine
with
weed in his system and all these other stories about assault and everything. But the whole then, all I ever heard then from the Browns fans after was like, what if he drags Josh Gordon down with him?
Oh, fuck yeah. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
He's on the straight and narrow now. And if this guy comes in and fucking drags him down. But if he doesn't, if this guy had no character concerns, the analyst said he would have been the top receiver coming out. That could be another steal for them if, again, what did J.R. Smith said? Why did he say he was so good in Cleveland? Because there was no strip clubs to go to.
Yeah, seriously.
So
yeah.
We'll see.
That's why, like, it just happens to be like Cleveland who have had their bad luck with quarterbacks. But I always said, like, send Mayfield. Like I was saying, send them to Buffalo because there's not much to do in Buffalo. Well, he's going to Cleveland now, and there's not much craziness one would think that you could get up to in Cleveland. So we'll see how it works. I just. Like, if Baker can get that offense going, like, are stacked.
Yeah, because, again, when we discuss this here, we're just discussing solely the draft.
Yeah.
Not the players they took in the lead-up to the draft. Mm. And for what they've taken in the lead-up, this team should be getting 6 to 7 wins this season.
Like, you've got their running back tandem now, Carlos Hyde, who was a decent veteran. You've got, what was the other running back they took?
Nick Chubb.
Oh, yeah. They've got Nick Chubb. The other Chubb. They've got him there as well. And now, like, they have Josh Gordon. They've got, Landry. They've got Coleman.
Callaway works out.
First rounder, tight end, and Njoku as well. Like, they've added more pieces to the defense. Like, they are primed to have a good
I suppose, the back to the main reason you would classify them as a loser is they went against everything.
Yeah.
Everybody thought they were going to do.
And I have in the bottom, Brown's gone brown.
Brown's gone brown.
It just smells like the Browns, you know?
Very true.
That's what I'm worried about. So we'll leave it at two losers. We won't beat up too much on NFL teams. That's it.
We did say, because Barry couldn't make it tonight, he did bring up a point he wanted to discuss.
Oh, yeah.
What was the Chargers just getting an absolute steal at Derwin James dropping to them.
Oh, yes. Because did we all have Derwin James going? I'm just looking at the mock.
We all have going in like the top 12, I think, maybe.
Me and us two, actually. We both had Derwin James going to the Buccaneers at 7. Barry successfully predicted that they would trade out that spot, in fairness to him. And Steve O'Rourke had the Bills trading up to number 7.
To get him?
No.
Or just trading up to number 7. Okay.
Take Josh Rosen.
Yeah, but yeah. So have they pretty much gone, just from some of the other picks as well that they took, it was a pretty heavy defensive sided draft for them. Have they gone now from being like an offensive front to possibly like they're a team that their defense is the face of their team now, you know?
Yeah.
They've got an awesome D line there. Now secondary's built up. And there really shouldn't be any issues with them going into this year because last year the whole issue with Joey Bosa not playing until like the fourth or fifth game because they were cheaping out and paying him. That was the year before, wasn't it?
It was the year before.
Last year you had, who's the receiver they drafted that didn't even fucking play?
Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this year, touch wood, everything goes perfect for them this year.
Yeah.
Because that'll be a very interesting division now if they're fully healthy, ready to go.
Absolutely, yeah. Right, I think we'll leave it at that. We let the dust settle a little bit. Mainly because both of us were actually away. So we've let the dust settle and we've given our kind of thoughts on who we felt did well and who we felt did bad, as well as our own two teams. Yeah, I think we'll give the view give the listeners a break now and wrap it up for this episode of Paddy Pigskin. So, Jarrett, thanks for coming in. The Yankees Red Sox is on in the background, so we'll finish up a beer or two and watch that. And yeah, thanks again for coming on.
No problem.
Maybe we'll have Barry on next time if he's not too busy being smarter than the rest of us. We'll get him in here again. All right, we'll leave it at that. And before we go, got to give a quick shout out to the people that won our mock draft contest for a few prizes. So, Joe Coyne, congratulations. You won your draft cap of choice, which, of course, you're a Steelers fan. So, you got the Steelers hat there. Jack and Keith Holden, father and son duo, respect. Those two lads won a Paddy Pigskin snapback and a DraftKings t-shirt. So, Keith, Jack, Joe, congratulations on predicting the most amount of draft picks in the top 10 in our contest and getting them prizes on the way to you. And also, we have swag coming out now. So I've gotten a couple more Paddy Pigskin snapbacks made up. We got the classic all black, green, writing with the little shamrock. And now we have a new one, which is actually a grey peak on it. So if you know me personally and you're interested, or you don't know me personally, just message the page on Facebook or Instagram. Let me know how many you want. There's a limited amount so far, but sounds like they're in high demand. People have been asking me, so I'm going to get a lot more made up. That's the new Paddy Pigskin snapbacks. Get them while they're hot. Selling out like hotcakes. So that'll do it for this week's episode of Paddy Pigskin. Tune in next time, where, as always, we will have less slant and more slauncher. Take care.